Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the iSports MSU Red Theater Report, where we may not be as talented as Mike North and Andy Furman, but you know what? At least we're a little more professional. The Red Theater Report is part of iSportsWeb.com. Be sure to check out that website for the latest sports news and opinions. You can like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter to listen to our past podcasts. You can check out our most recent episode where we had former Michigan State punter Craig Barrett on to talk about how he started up the idea for the Mike Sadler Memorial Football Scholarship, which, as an update to that story, you can now buy the Sadler suit at the Players' War during the Memorial service. It's through booster.com. Just type Sadler in the search bar and it's going to come up. So, anyway, here's what the deal was going to be today. I talked to Ryan McCumber, he's with us today, on Monday, and we had this nice little idea where, you know, we talked about the Spartans that will be participating in the Olympics. You know, Draymond Green, he's favored to win the gold medal. He's the first basketball player from Michigan State to participate on the senior men's national team since Steve Smith won the gold in the World Championships in 1994. Emily Regan, she's the only other Spartan that's going to be competing. She'll be participating in the women's eights in rowing. Obviously, there are concerns about the ladder. She told me a few weeks ago that the national governing body got them covered with the safety protocols. And she's also on the team that's up there regarding the favorites to win the gold, as she's won 6 gold medals in the women's eight in the World Rowing Championships and World Rowing Cup. This is her first attempt, though, at a gold medal in the Olympics. That was the plan. Like I said, we had it planned since Monday afternoon, but not to downplay the Olympics, a bigger story, at least in relation to Michigan State, took place when Mark D'Antonio joined Andy Furman and Mike North on Fox Daybreak. So today, Ryan and Mike Sterner, they're going to be with me to talk about that situation and what has happened since then. Mike, we'll start with you. Where did this interview that has now become pretty infamous around Michigan State, when did this go awry?
Well, I honestly, when I think about it, I think it was the frickin' part where they said, do you eat pasta with Tom Izzo? Like, what the heck is, what is that question? It's really, at that point, I think you're essentially admitting that you don't have any real questions. I mean, that's just, it's worthless kind of a question. And I think that really set off a spiraling down effect where the rest of the questions were just questions we've heard over and over and over again. And that was really what was wrong with this interview.
And now, let me follow up on that. Do you feel that there was somewhat, look, it's a politically correct culture that we live in nowadays, and I know he'll be one of the first people to acknowledge that. Do you feel that there was some sort of racial undertone there, given the fact that both of these guys have had a history in those types of situations regarding race and ethnicity?
When I first listened to it, I didn't actually think of that. That's not one of the first things that usually would come to mind for me, but when people brought it up, I'm still on the fence with that. I don't know if it had a racial undertone. Maybe there's a possibility that that was the case, but I think more so it was just the fact that you would ask a question that really is just as useless as that question, because it's an unimportant question. Nobody really wants to hear that question. Nobody cares, really. I mean, nobody wants to hear that. So I think when you add in the fact that there could be a racial implication there, it makes it even worse. So that's, to me, that was what that question, why that question just was bad.
And to give some credit to Mark D'Antonio here, which won't necessarily be the theme throughout the show. You know, we will play devil's advocate here in a second. He deflected it pretty well, talking about how he tried to emulate Izzo's program and how they hang out and didn't necessarily add more on or give more to that specific question. Ryan, what about you? Where do you think this kind of started taking a wrong turn?
I have to agree with the pasta question. It's just a stupid question. Why would you ask that when you've got at least the top 10 coach in the whole entire country calling into your show and you're asking him if he eats pasta with Tom Izzo? I mean, come on, man. It's just stupid. It is one of the dumbest questions I've ever heard.
Let me cut you off here. Let me cut you off here. So it didn't go – so neither of you guys think that it went wrong, first question where they asked about Jim Harbaugh getting into D'Antonio's head?
That was the start. That might have been the start of it, but it went way downhill once he asked about the pasta. And, you know, it was just – the thing was, it was – and then he goes on, you know, asking questions that have been asked over for the past year, you know, asking about Connor Cook, why wasn't he a captain, and other stuff like that. It's like, come on, man. Ask some original content for crying out loud.
And, I mean, I think that's one of the things that you'll see a lot of the supporters of North and Furman do is they say it's their job to ask the tough questions and coach can handle it. Well, I think he handled it pretty well over the past, 365 days? So I just feel it's one of those situations where I know, Mike, you're in the medical field, but I took broadcasting classes or whatever. I'm never going to reach the level of these guys. I mean, it was always my dream to have, like, a nationally syndicated show. I'm never going to reach the level that these guys are at as far as broadcasting goes. I might always be a behind-the-scenes person that are obviously important to the interview. Some of those were not, you know, the who's, the what, the when's, where, the why's, and the how's, not what last year. Who last year? Why last year? You know, obviously, you can ask maybe something about the Alabama game, as that may play some significance to the program moving forward. But you don't ask questions like that. And look, when we interviewed Mateen Cleaves, there were questions we were not allowed to ask him. You know, his PR person emailed me back or whatever when we had him on the show really early on, like right after our debut. Questions we could not ask him. There were questions I could not ask Craig Jarrett about the Mike Sadler situation. And it's one of those things where you have to know where your boundaries are. And they even told me specifically, hey, don't ask me about this. So you kind of have to abide by that as a professional. One of the interesting things is Furman, he ran the coaches show at Cincinnati. And it's not always been the smoothest relationship between him and D'Antonio, or D'Antonio and Cincinnati. Ryan, do you think that maybe history played a part in how rapidly this went downhill?
It may have, you know. And, I mean, I don't know how I saw something about this. I don't know how legitimate it was, but I saw that he lost his job because of a racist incident with T.J. Houshmandzadeh, the former Bengals wide receiver. I mean, this guy's got a checkered past, but, you know, that may have played a part, and, you know, there might have been some hard feelings there, and D'Antonio was like, I'm tired of this. I'm done. You know, I've been asked about this crap for 365 straight days, and I think that was his boiling point.
Mike, do you feel like the Rocky relationship may have turned the switch a little quicker for D'Antonio? Or is it just one of those things where D'Antonio already doesn't have the best relationship with the media? He's kind of got that Tom Izzo attitude towards it. He doesn't like it. It's a part of his job. He'll have fun when he can. He doesn't complain about it too often. Do you think it was a history thing, or do you feel it was just more he was just fed up with the questions?
I honestly don't think history plays very much into it at all. I honestly, the way I've always seen Mark D'Antonio is he really is one kind of guy that really doesn't ever show any kind of anger manifesting or really frustration. But then every now and again, you have these like epic moments where D'Antonio just goes, you know, he just really goes off on something, or he is standoffish to something. And I think that's what we saw here, kind of like what we saw with the little brother comments. And anytime he's really, you know, asked about Michigan or something like that, he kind of builds that up, I think, over time. I don't really think it's a history thing. I think it's he really is probably, especially coming off of Big Ten media days, he's probably at the point where, like, he's thinking to himself, I just want to play football and I'm tired of these same old questions over and over again. And I think that's what it was more than anything.
Yeah, I mean, part of me thinks that you look at the Cincinnati Bearcat fan base that has responded in light of the situation, and I kind of look at it like it would be a Spartan fan, well, I'll say unprofessional Spartan fan, interviewing Nick Saban right now. And feel free to tell me if I'm way off base. It would be kind of like that. Obviously, there are exceptions. There's differences why they left. Michigan State is a major college football program. You can say what you want about D'Antonio having to build them up. Historically, they're one of the top 25 in wins. They're among the top 25 in college football championships. They're in a major conference as opposed to Cincinnati, where Nick Saban left for a program that, at the time, was not nearly as prolific as Michigan State. And you could tell that it was a little bit about the dollars there. And so, Ryan, man, am I off base when I say something like that?
No, I think that's fair. I mean, you know, it's so I think it's somebody that's frustrated, you know, about how things ended. And I thought, I mean, I was only 13 years old when he came to MSU, but I thought from what I remember, I thought he handled it professionally the way that he left, you know, compared to, you know, you can argue that Nick Saban MSU. But that's from my point of view. They're not, you know, from an MSU standpoint. I don't know how they think.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's one of those things, leaving before the bowl game. I think that has the biggest impact on guys. Plaxico Burress' tweet, what was it, last year, about how Nick Saban was a liar. He said straight to my face he wasn't going to go anywhere, and then he bailed. I feel like Mark D'Antonio may have handled his situation with Cincinnati with a little more decorum, but I think that there's still that fan reaction because, you know, Mark D'Antonio, you know, when coaches usually leave, they say stuff to their players, they say stuff to the coaching staff, they say stuff to the boosters, alumni, and stuff like that, but they don't necessarily make it a point to talk to the fans about when they're leaving unless they are retiring. Mike, what are your thoughts on that?
I think you might have a connection there, but I also think it has a lot to – I think it even has more to do with their personalities as coaches. I just think that that's something you would expect more from a Nick Saban, and I think he's more of a guy that's going to wear his emotions on his sleeve a lot more often than somebody like D'Antonio, who's very cool, calm, and collected almost at all times, and you don't really see much emotion out of him usually. So I think it has a lot to do with the personality we're talking about here too. But maybe there's some level where you can make a connection there.
Yeah, and one of my biggest issues with this entire interview was at the end, you guys said it. The popped question was a question about Connor Cook. Things started getting a little rocky. You could kind of tell. I think at the end, you could tell that it was evident that these guys didn't do their research. First things first, obviously, you bundled two questions into one. You know, hey, what about the new kid in town? Oh, what about the injuries? I think the second thing is, you know, Furman worked on the coach's show with D'Antonio at Cincinnati. I'm pretty sure by now the entire country knows how Mark Antonio handles the injury situation. Last year, Ed Davis, he hurt himself. He was out for the entire season. Obviously, he ended up being a blessing in disguise this year, as he's looking to make a comeback if he's able to pass all of his classes and graduate. Everyone knows how D'Antonio handles the injury situation. Last year, Ed Davis, it's a leg injury. He's out for the year. You know, the Pendleton thing, it's a leg injury. He's going to try to tough it out. And he will not often give specifics. At what point do you think that a guy, especially like D'Antonio, is going to offer national breaking news regarding the health of his football team? I understand if you want to talk about the injuries from last season, building up the experience for this season, especially with the offensive line, but at what point do you feel like they lost control of the interview?
You know, it's like I said, I still think it was more of a costly question, and, you know, asking about Connor Cook. Why wasn't Connor Cook the captain? And, you know, the same crap he's heard all over and over for the past year. You know, that's when he got tired of it. I understand that you have to ask certain questions, but yeah, there's a point where you have to ask something new.
Yeah, and I think that one of the things where they started feeling the pressure was when they asked Mark D'Antonio, and I'm quoting here, Michigan State is now one of 6 Power 5 schools with a winning percentage of 800 or more since the year 2010. Do you feel, coach, that maybe you don't get the respect nationally because of those statistics? I don't see it. End quote. And Mark D'Antonio replied with, essentially, like he tried to do the coach speak thing around that question, but he essentially replied with, that doesn't make any sense. What are you talking about? Mike, do you feel that they went overboard in trying to correct that? Because I've read that question 8 billion times. Being if I overlooked something, I don't think I did. Am I missing something?
No, I don't. I think you're right. I think you're right on about that. I'm not shocked that that's how D'Antonio responded to that. He really, you know, he's probably thinking in his mind, I got stuff to do right now, and you're going to sit here.
Yeah, it was the last day of conditioning, and it was right, I believe it was right before, if I'm not mistaken, conditioning ended. It was right after conditioning ended. It was the last day of the conditioning, and they were getting ready to move on.
But, and Mark D'Antonio, he understands that he has an obligation to the media. It's a part of his job, and he's done a very good job with upholding that most of his career. But, I mean, there comes a point where it's just like, seriously, you know, why are you asking me these questions? And I don't think D'Antonio was necessarily pinpointing only these guys with that statement. I think he might have been, you know, feeling that way about the whole, probably the summer more than anything. You know, I've been asked these same questions over and over and over again, and he probably really was saying that to the entire media group that's been interviewing him over the past few months. He's probably just like, this is getting really old, and I'm focusing on 2016 now. You know, this is a new season. You're going to ask me about questions that don't affect my football team right now. I don't want to sit here and try to answer questions that I've already answered that aren't what I'm focusing on anymore anyway. So, and that's really what D'Antonio said. And he even made this remark at Mike Sadler's memorial. He said, I very rarely look into the past. He was talking about how he almost never wears his rings. And he said, I'm always looking to the future. And so he's that kind of guy. So if you continue to ask him questions about things that are in the past, then he doesn't want to answer those questions. He's looking forward to, you know, back-to-back Big Ten championships. He's not looking for, he's not really looking at the Alabama loss as much anymore. He's not looking at Rose Bowls and Big Ten championships in the past because – those things are in the past. He's looking forward to how he's going to better his football team into the future, and that's just who he is.
All right, Ryan, let me kind of play devil's advocate here because, I mean, we all have the same opinion. These guys, hey, look, D'Antonio had a reason to hang up. I think we all kind of saw the Terry Foster article where he talked about D'Antonio not hanging up quick enough. Frankly, I would have, if I was D'Antonio, I would have hung up on the first question about Jim Harbaugh. Because,
you know what? This
I mean,
is
that's been regurgitated to an unbelievable.
And I think it's because that, you know, it's rumors and stuff that you stream everywhere.
It's all situation different.
Yeah. But have you talked to Eric this week? Well, interestingly enough.
Mike, what about you? I think we lost Ryan there.
I missed some of that question. Can you kind of paraphrase it a little bit? In the background, I couldn't hear it.
Okay, maybe we're not as professional as those two guys. Maybe we're not as professional as those two guys. Like, we thought we were a little bit better than for the moment. But, no, let me kind of play devil's advocate. You know, we all kind of sided with Colin Cowherd last year with the Jim Harbaugh interview. What makes it different to this year to where we're siding with the coach, other than the fact, hey, the coach is my favorite school?
I think partially it has to do with the fact that, in general, I think you can see a perception of the media kind of not quite giving Mark D'Antonio the respect he deserves versus giving Jim Harbaugh probably even more respect than he deserves at this point in his Michigan tenure. You have D'Antonio, who is having his name spelt wrong on national magazines and who's not, you know, who's the only coach ever to win 11 games in 5 out of 6 seasons as a Big Ten school, and he's still not receiving the credit he deserves. So that partially has to do with it. So Mark D'Antonio kind of has a little bit of a reason to be mad. But at the same time, I mean, Jim Harbaugh probably has his frustrations with the media. He probably, you know, he seems to enjoy the media in certain ways more than D'Antonio might. But at the same level, he probably gets tired of some of the same old questions. So yeah, I think to some level it plays into it, the fact that there's just some inherent bias that you have there when you are really focusing on Michigan State all the time rather than Michigan. But I do think that there is some sort of a discrepancy when we think about the fact that Mark D'Antonio generally has been disrespected by the media more so than somebody like Jim Harbaugh, who seems to really get a lot of praise when it comes to that area.
All right, we got about 6.5 minutes left. Got a couple more things I do want to cover here. Fullman released a video of himself wearing a Michigan State football shirt, apologizing and offering and again, I'm going to use his word, mulligan. Should D'Antonio do this, as every retweet from North and Furman, it's kind of been in support of them, and some of the tweets afterwards, at least one of them, I can't remember which one, the tweet was later deleted, called D'Antonio a hack coach. Should D'Antonio consider this?
I honestly think Mark D'Antonio is in the mindset of that whole thing is over now. He's probably not even going to ever think about it again. Probably the only ones that are focusing on it still are fans and media. Mark D'Antonio, you got to remember, he gives so many of these interviews all the time. So he probably has this kind of stuff happen on a little bit less of a, you know, more of a local scale. You might have that happen, but it doesn't get out because not everybody's listening to the interview, and it may not necessarily be something that's seen as big. If you're talking about maybe like a Jack Ebling or something, he may have his trip ups there every now and again, but there's also the fact that there's a relationship there. And then I think D'Antonio also is kind of thinking in the back of his mind that with the local media, with regards to that, he's got to somewhat keep a balance with them because these are the guys that are always going to be interviewing him, as opposed to Fox. They're not always going to interview him. D'Antonio is probably never going to be interviewed by those two guys again. And if he does, he's probably gonna put some things out there before the interview to say, you know, this needs to go a heck of a lot differently than my last interview with you guys did. So I really think, like I said before, D'Antonio is the guy that looks into the future and forgets the past. So I think that's really what he's going to do here.
Now, what does this do for the future? Michigan State just signed a $150 million deal, and we got about 4 minutes left. A $150 million deal with Fox Sports. These guys work for Fox Sports. Do you feel that maybe this expensive deal, the guy offering a redo and trying to offer his apology amongst all of his retweets where they said D'Antonio's a loser, he can't handle it. Do you think that kind of played a part? And what does this kind of do for the relationship between Michigan State and Fox Sports moving forward, as Tom Izzo will often be on ESPN, regardless of the situation? I know that Fox Sports is it's more of a football thing with Michigan State.
Yeah, I don't know. Personally, I think Fox Sports can have the mindset that we also have plenty of other avenues with which we can have contact with Mark D'Antonio. It doesn't necessarily have to be with those guys. Maybe they'll set something up, but I think in the time being, it's probably going to be forgotten. The people that will remember are probably the fans and maybe some outlets of media, but I don't think D'Antonio is going to, at the end of the day, sit there and say, I'm going to completely disregard these guys if they do want to set up another interview to reset the whole thing. But he's, like I said, he's one that's going to forget about what happened. And you probably have it in the back of your mind to some level. It's human nature. But Mark D'Antonio's got bigger things to worry about than how his interview went one summer day when there was really nothing going on in terms of football, which is all he really cares about. So I think at the end of the day, he's just going to move on. And if that does happen, the only one who's going to be really watching intently is probably the fans. And so D'Antonio's, he's fixated on the future. And I think that's, you know, it's the past is the past. He's just going to get over that.
All right. Well, we got like 2 minutes left. I know that Chris Stanton is calling in. Chris Stanton, he's filled in for us from time to time throughout the summers. Chris, what's going on, man?
Hey, just saw Ryan fell off by the wayside, and I wanted to drop in a couple thoughts. Mike nailed a couple things as far as needing to keep a balance and keep a somewhat of a relationship with Fox Sports. But like you and I have talked about before, this is beautiful. How can a coach who has made the college football playoff keep the underdog role, keep that chip on the shoulder of our players to push forward? This is a great thing for us. I love it.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And we apologize that we couldn't get you on a little bit sooner. It does add that little chip to, well, I guess you can call it a boulder. Does throw that boulder back on Mark D'Antonio's shoulders as they move forward. It's going to be interesting to see, one thing's for sure, how Fox Sports handles their relationship with Michigan State. I mean, we don't know the specifics of the deal other than the fact that it's a pretty pricey one. Some games will be broadcast on Fox Sports, but it's going to be interesting to see how the relationship moving forward between Michigan State and Fox Sports One works out as we move forward. And that
more than likely,
today, be sure to check us out for the preview of the season as we get closer to the opening kickoff. For Ryan McCumber, Chris Stanton, and Mike Stern, and I am Tyler Hayward. This was the iSports NFU Red Feeder Report.